إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we continue with our series on monitoring our conversations on based on the principle that conversation, speech reflects attitude, and speech also alters attitude. Today I want to talk about three things. One is to see whether in our conversation there is more competition or collaboration. When we talk about people, when we talk about things, what do we hear more? Do we hear more competition or do we hear more collaboration? It's a very important thing to think about, because competition is good, like everything, in the right place. Competition in the wrong place is destructive. Competition within teams, competition within families, competition within a community, all of this is destructive. It doesn't help. Even in industry and business, where people compete and they compete in the market, same products, same services, even they, in terms of for where they can collaborate, they collaborate even though they compete in the same market. For example, GE appliances, when they had collaboration with Godrej, they built a plant in Mohali. So they built a refrigeration plant in Mohali. Later on, the Mohali plant used to make refrigerators for their competition in India, which are some other brands. They were making refrigerators for their own competition. Now, they were not making faulty refrigerators. They were making refrigerators to G Six Sigma quality standards. So you might say, why are you making refrigerators for your own competition when you are in the same market? You are also marketing refrigerators. Why are you doing that? Because if you don't do that, then you have excess capacity in your plant, and to keep that excess capacity idle costs more money and it's a waste, rather than making refrigerators and then you utilize the excess capacity, plus you get paid for it. So you turn the excess capacity into a revenue stream, even by making refrigerators for your competition. Similarly, many other examples. Printers, for example. I know Sony printers used to have the engine of the printer was an HP engine. HP also makes printers. Sony also makes printers. So the Sony printers had HP engines. So you might say, well, why are you making engines for your competition? For the same reason. You have excess capacity, it helps you, and making an engine for the competition doesn't hurt you. So in our conversations, are we more focused on competition or are we more focused on collaboration? Same thing happens in the upbringing of children. Sibling rivalry, which whenever I have to arbitrate in family disputes, I always tell the people, I said, this dispute didn't start today when you are in your 40s. This dispute started in the nursery when you were 2 years old. It starts with that. You have a toy, one child has a toy, another child wants the toy, and the parents' standard reaction, don't worry, I'll get you one. Hardly any parent will say, share with your brother, share with your sister. So the sibling rivalry, which tears apart families and destroys businesses, doesn't start when you are in your 30s and 40s. It starts when you are 2 years old. So if you had learned to share and collaborate at that time, then you would not be killing each other or suing each other in your 30s and 40s and destroying your family and incurring the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Family relationships have a huge amount of importance in Islam. There's a very dear friend of mine in Australia. who was also my Aikido teacher, Julius Abe. Julius at that time, he used to live in Bangalore. Julius had a 5-year-old son and a 3-year-old daughter. So every morning, the children used to sleep in the next room and Julius and his wife would be in the main bedroom. So every morning, the two children would come and they would climb on the bed and they would fight the father. So Julius says that anytime they came individually to fight me, they would always lose. I would make sure that, you know. But if they came together to fight me, then I would lose. Right? Now, what is he training? Without saying anything, what is he training them? He's training joint together, collaborate, work with each other, not individually. So, in conversation, what do we see? Whether it's in our children, whether it's in ourselves, collaboration or competition. Second one is in our conversation, especially when we are talking about the people who work with us. What do you hear more? Self-promotion or teamwork? Nobody succeeds on his own. If somebody could succeed on his own, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show that, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have been alone. But even for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though we don't say that he needed them, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created an entire generation to work with him in order to promote Islam and to do the da'wah of Islam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam need Abu Bakr and Umar and Osman and Ali and wallahu alam radiallahu anhu ajmai? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him an entire generation and he gave him people with fully trained with all the skills. And what they got from the Prophet ﷺ was Iman. Rasulullah ﷺ did not teach Khalid bin Walid how to hold a sword. Right? Khalid bin Walid came as a full-fledged military general who had not lost a single battle and accepted Iman and used the same talent for Islam. Rasulullah ﷺ did not teach Umar ibn al-Khattab firasat. He didn't teach him wisdom and, you know, the ability to judge and so on and so forth. He came with that. So, Rasulullah ﷺ never ran a training school. He just switched in the mind. And you will never find any time in the Sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the Ahadith, where Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that this is my effort. He never said it. The Dawat of Islam, he never said this is my effort. And today, with this me and me and me and me is a major problem. And this is one of the big reasons why teamwork doesn't happen, because each person in the team is trying to prove to the world that the rest of the team is useless. I don't need them. It's only because of me it is happening. First of all, it is not true. I mean, apart from anything else. First of all, it is not. It can't be. It is impossible. It cannot be true. Steve Jobs didn't make Apple. Right? Bill Gates did not make Microsoft. These are people who are the starters of it and the founders and so on and so forth. But it's not one person alone. It's all the people who came together and what they did. And unless we acknowledge that, as I said, first of all, it is not even true. And secondly, it is something which destroys teamwork. Malcolm Gladwell's book, Outliers, one of the many lessons that is there to learn in that book is exactly this. Malcolm Gladwell statistically proves how circumstances help a particular person to succeed when parallelly another person with the same IQ, even a higher IQ. So, in terms of intelligence, there is a positive difference on the other side. The person didn't have the same circumstances and therefore he or she did not shine the way that this one did. So, if you say that, so-and-so, it is his effort, self-made man, that is one of the most stupid and oxymoronic phrases that I have ever heard in my life. Self-made, what is a self-made man? You can't even be a self-made egg. Some chicken has to lay you. The third thing to monitor is a mindset of abundance or a mindset of scarcity. So, is it hoarding or is it sharing? what you do more. Now, that's another very, very important thing, because the reality of life is that, especially knowledge and practically everything else, the more you share, the more you get. Only empty hands can hold. Hands which are already full cannot hold anything. So, you want to hold, you have to let go what you have. Only when something leaves the hands, something leaves the heavens to come down. What you have in your hand is your harvest. What you sow, what you leave, what leaves your hand is the seed. Unless you plant, you can't get a harvest. And the harvest is always more than the seed. Even the worst harvest is more than the seed. So, mindset of scarcity, so hoarding, or mindset of abundance, take. It's very, very important. Many times people ask me, I have always believed in this open sharing concept. Long before I had the words to explain it in terms of abundance mindset and blah blah, all this is nice jargon, but you have to actually have it. And many people ask me, because I am a consultant, so my capital is intellectual capital, is knowledge, and all that I have is open and it's free. So people told me, you are stupid. I mean, this is your capital, this is how you make money. If you don't sell it, if you give it away, how do you make money? I don't know, but I always give it away. And alhamdulillah, I've never short of money. So, you tell me how I make money, I don't know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides. So, the more you give, the more you get. That's the principle of life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. The more you give, the more you get. So, do you have and can you see an abundance mindset in the conversation? Or are you seeing a scarcity mindset, where for everything, there has to be some immediate return? I won't tell you unless you tell me, or unless you give me something, and so on and so on. So, three lessons, inshallah, for us today, which is to monitor our conversations, which is, are we competition focused or collaboration focused? Are we focused on self-promotion or teamwork? And do we express a scarcity mindset or an abundance mindset? Is it focused on, do you hear hoarding or do you hear sharing as far as our conversations are concerned? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu to enable us to live lives which are pleasing to Him and beneficial for us. The whole point of Islam is an abundance mindset. It's not a scarcity mindset. Share, 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 share. Whether it's zakat, whether it's sadaqat, whether it's dawah, whatever. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came to Medina, Abdullah bin Salam, radiallahu anhu, he says that when I first met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, spread salam, feed the hungry, feed the people, and stand up in the night before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when people are sleeping, and Jannah will be easy for you. Abundance mindset. So, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu to enable us to please Him and to do things which are beneficial for us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.